with Fred Luter coming and preaching for us all week long here at Midwestern Chapel. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
And I want to ask Brother Fred to come up here because we want to give him a little gift or two and express part of our appreciation in this way, Dr. Luter. And I've got a Midwestern Seminary sweatshirt for you, okay? And a Midwestern Seminary ball cap for you as well.
Thank you.
Now, we give this to you on one condition.
What's that?
And that is the next time you visit the New Orleans Baptist Seminary campus, you wear those. That's right. Come on, come on, come on.
Yeah.
And you wear those and go and visit Dr. Kelly and tell him I said hello and send my love to him.
Thank you, Doc.
What a privilege it's been to have you with us.
Thank
and we
you
love
so
you and
much.
Appreciate you and thank you for your strong preaching and being used of the Lord to bless us this
thank
week.
You, amen. Amen.
Okay,
yeah, thank you all so much.
I'm going to ask Golden Davis if he'll come up in just a moment, lead us in prayer. After that, Letitia will, Jackson will lead us in singing. Golden, are you out there? All right, you come up if you will right now. And I just had a question that came to mind when I got up here this morning. I had not heard any word about Pastor Frank Duncan. Has anyone heard anything about his condition at Independence Avenue Baptist Church? Let's keep praying for him. Golden serves here with the Missouri Baptist Convention as consultant for Black church planning and growth in the greater Kansas City area. Golden, we're delighted to have you here. I know you're a pastor too, and you work with our Missouri Baptist Convention helping to encourage church planting, particularly among African Americans. If you have any interest in that, you'll want to make contact with Golden, visit with him as well after chapel, and tell him about your interests. We're thrilled to have you here today. Lead and ask God's blessing on the preaching and the singing today, and then after Letitia comes and sings for us, Brother Fred, we'll look forward to hearing from you.
Bless you, Letitia. That was wonderful. Hey, man. Brother, did you teach her how to sing like that? No, you just. That was awesome. Amen. Amen. I wish I could sing like that. I tell you, I sing before I preach, during my preaching, after I preach, but I can't sing. I just make a joyful noise. Amen. But that was awesome, Letitia. God bless you. May God's blessing be upon you. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen, amen. You know, I like to hear y'all talking. I just don't throw nothing at me, but I like to hear you talking to me. Amen. I just, first of all, want to express my complete joy in this wonderful opportunity that Dr. Roberts have given me to be here this week. My brother, I thank God. As I said when I got here on Tuesday, you know, a lot of pastors and preachers around this city, state, and nation that you could have invited to be here during this week of chapel. But I thank God, my brother, that you thought enough of this street preacher from New Orleans, Louisiana, to invite me to be a part of these 3 days of revival. And I just trust and pray that God has did through me what you've asked me to do when you made the invitation. Given obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life, again, to Dr. Roberts, to all the other professors, the faculty, and the staff, and all the students here at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, I am indeed delighted and excited because I have once again been invited to be here with you this week. And I trust and pray that you have been blessed by the messages. I preach for three reasons and three reasons alone. I don't preach for fame. I don't preach for fortune. Don't preach for money. Don't preach for notoriety. I preach that God may be glorified, that the saints of God may be edified, and that lost sinners would come to repentance. And if some way you've been edified this week as a result of the sermons on revival, I just trust and pray that you'll give God the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. And the one thing I just want to admit, every sermon I preach to me first. I've talked to several people, and they said, man, I needed that, and Pastor, I needed that, and Luther, I needed that. But I told somebody yesterday, I think I told Dr. Jones, every sermon I preach, it's through an experience that I've gone through myself. So when I talked about Tuesday, about the Valley of the Dry Bones, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. When I talked yesterday about cry for revival, where David said, Lord, my spirit is failing. I don't like being in this place. Again, it's going through some personal time that I've been through in my life and in my ministry and in my pastorate, in my marriage, in my family. So everything I preach to me first. And I said that to say this. I heard that someone was kind of offended yesterday. One of the professors was kind of offended when I mentioned the fact that, we had the Spirit of God. We were really excited for the Lord until we learned how to till we learned Hebrew and Greek. I was not offended. As you know, if you've heard me preaching for the last 2 days, I am an equal opportunity offender. I offend everybody, amen. And so, Professor, I don't know who you are, but don't take it personally. I shoot at everybody, amen. And we all stand in need of revival. I did not mean to offend. I was just really doing it in fun to just get a laugh. But I do apologize for that. I do not intend to do that. I just come again to exalt Jesus Christ and to edify the people of God, and to lost sinners would come to repentance. But again, I want to thank every one of you. Thank you, Dr. Roberts and Sister Roberts. They have been a great host for me, all the faculty and staff this week. Leah has just been tremendous. Dr. Thor and Jim brought me out last night with Charlie. Just so many of you have just been so wonderful and kind to me. And I really felt like, I know my common background. Mom and Dad divorced when I was 6 years old. But to be here on campus this week, y'all made me feel like I'm somebody, man. I really appreciate that. Y'all got me staying in the big house, man, and all that good stuff, man. And so y'all really made me feel like I'm somebody. Every day I call my wife and tell her about all the things that's happening here, and I just praise the Lord for all that God has done. And again, pray for me. Whenever you think of the city of New Orleans, please keep us in your prayer. And if any of you ever come down, before you go to heaven, you owe it to yourself to come see us at Franklin Avenue Baptist Church, all right? It will be a joy to have you worshiping with us. Well, I'll turn your Bibles with me this morning to the Old Testament. To all the New Testament professors, I apologize. I didn't get to the New Testament this week. For whatever the reason, God has let me in the Old Testament, all these sermons. Jeremiah chapter 18 is where I want to share from this morning. As you know, on Tuesday, we talked about, in order to be revived, we looked at Ezekiel chapter 37 from a sermon entitled, How to Revive Dry Bones. How to Revive Dry Bones. And we mentioned in that sermon that if dry bones are going to be revived, number one, dry bones must realize that they're dry. Number two, dry bones must hear the word of God. Number three, dry bones must respond to the word of God. And then Pastor David's dry bones must be filled with the Spirit of God. And then on yesterday, we looked at Psalms 143 and looked at one of God's chosen people, one of God's special creation. We looked at David, who was a man after God's own heart, who was somebody who was the apple shallot of God's eye. And David was going through a dry time in his life. And David had a cry for revival in Psalms 143. And we looked at yesterday David's prayer. We looked at David's predicament. We looked at David's plea. And then we looked at David's proposition there in verse 11 of 143 when David realized his situation, realized his dryness. David cried out, revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according to what you have done in my life. Revive me for your name's sake. And today we want to look at another passage of scripture that I trust and pray may be a blessing to you. Now that you've been revived, now that you understand what it takes to be revived, I encourage each and every one of you now from this point on to put yourself in God's hands so that God can mold you and that God can shape you and that God can make you to be what he has called you to be. So from Jeremiah chapter 18, look with me verses 1 through 6 of that chapter. Jeremiah chapter 18. Verses 1 through 6 of that chapter. If you have it, please say amen. 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 You'll find these similar words. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, King James said, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you, and so are you, and so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Father, we again thank you and praise you for the tremendous privilege an opportunity that you've given us to be here in Midwestern Seminary one more time. God, we thank you for all that has taken place on Tuesday, on yesterday, and then now again on the day. We thank you for Dr. Henson and the praise team, God. Thank you for Leticia and the great verse that you blessed her with and how she blessed us in song on this morning, God. Thank you for the faculty, for the staff, all the students here at Midwestern Seminary, God. Thank you for the guests who are here today. We pray your blessings upon them. Now, God, as always, I pray that you'll bless this time of preaching. As always, Master, let me decrease as you increase. Father, let them not see Fred, but God, let them see Christ. To the end, Master, that you may be glorified, that the saints of God may be edified, that Satan may be horrified, and lost sinners would come to repentance. And Master, when it's all said and done, we'd be careful to give your name the praise, we give your name the glory, and we give your name the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. For a second again, let the people of God say amen. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. I want to preach this morning from this last sermon of this chapel of revival services. I want to preach this morning from the subject, in the master's hands. In the master's hands. My brothers and my sisters, imagine, if you will, a fish that couldn't swim. Imagine a dog that couldn't bark. Jones, imagine a cat that couldn't meow. Thor, imagine a rabbit that couldn't hop. But Jim, imagine a bird that couldn't fly. Imagine Renee, a lion that couldn't roar. Imagine a duck that couldn't quack. In our case, in the city of New Orleans, imagine a professional football team that couldn't play football. It would be real tragic for those things not to do, Anna, what God created those things to do. When God created fish, he created fish to swim, told birds to fly, told ducks to quack, told cats to meow, dogs to bark. It would be real sad and unfortunate for any of those things not to do what God created them to do. When God created them, he gave them an assignment and told them what to do. That's why you'll never hear dogs saying, meow, meow, meow. You never hear cats saying, bow, wow, bow, wow, bow, wow. You never hear ducks saying, moo, moo, moo. You never hear cows saying, wah, 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 wah. Why? Because all of those things do, Dr. Roberts, what God created them to do. So think of the pain, ladies and gentlemen. Think of the hurt, my brothers and my sisters, that God feels when God's very special creation, mankind, don't do what God created us to do. Out of everything that God created, we are the only ones that don't do, preachers, what God created us to do. God has no problem with birds flying, has no problem with fish swimming, has no problem with the sun shining in the day and the moon shining at night. God has no problem with lions roaring and ducks quacking and dogs barking. But why is it when it comes to God's special creation, we are the only ones that don't do what God created us to do? Think about it, my brothers and my sisters. Think about the pain, Leah. They think about the pain, Charlotte. When God's special creation, mankind, don't do what God created us to do. Think about the pain, Dr. Robbie, when God sees in our society the people that he created in his image and in his likeness, out of all the creation, we are the only ones that don't do what God created us to do. Think of the pain God feels when men that he created to be men one day decide, I don't want to be a man anymore. Think of the pain that God feels when women that he created to be women, one day decide, I don't want to be a woman anymore. Think of the pain God feels when husbands don't love their wives as Christ loved the church. Think of the pain God feels when wives don't respect and honor their husbands as unto the Lord. Think of the pain God feels when teenagers and children don't obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Think of the pain God feels when singles are not satisfied. Think of the hurt God feels when preachers don't practice what they preach. Think of the pain God feels when Sunday school teachers don't live the life they teach about in their class. Think of the pain God feels when choir members don't live the life they sing about in their song. Think of the hurt God feels when folk who profess to be believers don't read the Bible and don't obey what the Word of God says. Oh, my friend, it's no wonder why our society is messed up. It's no wonder why our nation is messed up. It's no wonder why our cities and states are messed up. Because when people don't do what God created them to do, you have chaos, you have confusion, you have division, you have humanism, you have selfishness, you have rebellion, you have no respect of life. When people don't do, Midwestern, what God created them to do, those people need a touch from the master's hands. Hence, Pastor David, the subject of the sermon this morning in the master's hands. In this chapter of Jeremiah chapter 18, God is trying to encourage this preacher, this prophet. Jeremiah now has a reputation as a weeping prophet because he is constantly crying over the sins of Israel. Pastors, we've been there. You know, it looks like every time you preach and you try to instruct people to do well, they'll do good to maybe Monday morning. And then all the rest of the week, they forget everything you preached about in the sermon on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Well, that's what happened with Jeremiah. He would preach, and they would do good for one day or 2 days. Then they would backslide. They would go back to worshiping false gods. They would go back to sinning and complaining against God. And it got to the point, Dr. Robert, that Jeremiah started, Lord, I don't know what to do. God, I'm preaching and I'm trying to do the right thing, God. These people are constantly disobedient. Lord, I don't know how to deal with these people. And he began to cry. He began to cry. And God looked at Jeremiah and he in chapter 18 and said, Jeremiah, shut up. I didn't call you to cry. I call you to preach. Jeremiah, this is what I want you to do. Wipe the tears from your eyes. Wipe the mucus from your nose. I'm sorry, Ann, I meant mucus. And Jeremiah, this is what I want you to do. Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house and see what the potter does with the clay. And can I not, Jeremiah, do with the people of Israel as the potter does with the clay? In other words, Jeremiah, what these people need is a touch from the master's hands. And my brothers and my sisters, ladies and gentlemen, as I look around America today, as I travel around our country today, as I pastor right there in the city of New Orleans, as I see what's happening in our society today, I see the same thing happening in our nation. Our people need a touch from the master's hand. America needs a touch. Your city needs a touch. My city needs a touch. Your state needs a touch. We need a touch from the master's hand. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what we need today in America, what we need today in our society, what we need today in our homes and our families and our communities, we need a touch from the master's hand. Well, why do we need a touch? Well, y'all ask some good questions. I like this school. Y'all ask some good questions here. Kind of frees me up to give you the answer. Dr. Robert, we need a touch for several reasons, Brother Jim. First of all, number one, we need a touch because we're messed up. Sin does that. Pastor Davis, we need a touch because we're messed up. Sin does that. Look at the first part of verse 4. The Bible says, and the vessel, Dr. Kendall Jones, that he made was clay. That the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. Ladies and gentlemen, first reason we need a touch because we're messed up. Sin does that. You, my friend, sin damages, sin destroys. When Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 listened to the devil instead of listening to God, when Adam and Eve obeyed Satan instead of obeying God, that sin nature passed upon all mankind so that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's hereditary. I got it from my mom and dad. They got it from their mom and dad. They got it from their mom and dad. They got it from their mom and dad. On back to a place called Eden and a man and woman called Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned unto God, that sin nature passed upon all of us so that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why Romans 3 and 10 said there are none that are righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and 23 said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6 and 23, Brother Jackson said, for the wages of sin is death. My brothers and my sisters, the reason you and I need a touch is because we're messed up with damaged goods. Sin has destroyed our lives, destroyed our future, destroyed our families. Sin has destroyed many churches. Sin exterminates. Sin is a catastrophe. It destroys individuals, destroys families, destroys neighborhoods, destroys cities, destroys states, destroys society, destroys dreams and visions and hope. Man, ladies and gentlemen, when we do not do what God created us to do, it's because of our flesh that we're living in. As a matter of fact, Paul described this flesh in Romans chapter 7 as so corrupt. Paul said, every time I attempt to do good, evil is right there. Our flesh is bad. Matter of fact, our flesh is so corrupt that if you are born again believer, when you and I die, God don't even want this flesh in heaven. God said, don't bring it up here. That's going back to the ground, earth to earth, ash to ashes, dust to dust. God's going to give us a new body because our flesh is contaminated. It's no wonder why we need a touch, because we're marred, we're messed up. And I mean everybody in here, from the pulpit to the door, from the faculty to the staff, every one of us are messed up. All of us got issues. Hello? My issue may not be your issue may not, but all of us got issues. All of us got some things in our lives that our flesh has caused us not to be who God has called us to be. So the first reason we need a touch, because we're marred, we're messed up, sin does that. But then there's a second reason you and I need a touch, and that is because we can't fix ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. Look at the second part of verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Here it is. So he made it again, Jones, into another vessel, as it seemed good, don't miss this, for the potter to make. The potter made it again, as it seemed good for the potter to make. The second reason you and I need a touch, we can't fix ourselves. Brothers, stop trying to handle life by yourself. Ladies, stop trying to handle life. We cannot fix ourselves. I don't care how cool you are, how I think you got it all together, you can't handle life by yourself. That's why we got to put ourselves in the master's hand. We can paint it up, we can dress it up, we can make it up, but we can't fix ourselves. Like Robert, I heard this story one time of this elderly lady who had had this heart attack. And she was on the operating table in the hospital, and she subconsciously heard the doctor say, it doesn't look good for her. And it looked like she's going to be, we better inform the family to come here. It doesn't look good for her. And she was in her late 60s, and she felt, Lord, I don't want to die yet. Lord, I still want to see my children's children. I want to see my grandchildren. I want to see them grow up. I want to see them go to school. I want to see them come here to the Midwest. I want to see them make things out of their lives. And she said, Lord, I remember in the Old Testament when Hezekiah was about to die, he turned his face to the wall, and you gave him 15 years. God, I'm a child of God. I'm a believer. God, please give me some more years. And God said, okay, my sister, you have been wonderful. You've been a committed believer. You've done a lot for the kingdom of God. God said, okay, I'll let you live some more years. And so she decided, and so since she was going to have some more years, she said, well, since I'm in this hospital, I might as well just get a total makeover. You know these TV programs where they got a total makeover live? I mean, and she got a different hairstyle, different haircut. She got a nose job, got her skin tucked, got eyebrow done. I mean, from the crown of her head to the shoulder, she got everything nip tucked and everything else that could happen. She looked like a totally different person. The day she was getting out of the hospital, Charlotte, she was walking across the emergency ramp while her family was waiting for her in the visitor's parking lot. Unbeknownst to her, an ambulance was bringing a gunshot victim, did not see her, could not stop fast enough, hit her, killed her on the spot. She got up to heaven and said, for God, what happened? You said you was going to give me some more years. You said you were going to let me live longer. And God looked at her and said, baby, I didn't recognize you. Now, ladies, I'm teasing, all right? Ladies, I'm teasing. We can paint it up, we can dress it up, we can fix it up, but we can't fix ourselves. We can march forever, but we can't fix ourselves. We can protest forever, but we can't fix ourselves. You can use every excuse in the book as to why you haven't achieved that, why this is not happening in your life, why you haven't done this in your life. You can blame your mama, you can blame your daddy, you can blame the president, you can blame the governor, you can blame the government, you can blame the mayor, you can write to Dear Abby and Ann Landers, but we can't fix ourselves. You can call all the psychics on the psychic line, but we can't fix ourselves. We can tell it all on Letterman. We can show it all on Ricky Lake. We can discuss it all on Jimmy Connell. We can analyze it all on Dr. Phil. We can excuse it all on Jay Leno. We can cry through it all on Oprah. We can do it all on Jerry Springer. And they do it all on Jerry Springer. But we can't fix ourselves. Can't do it. We can't fix ourselves. Because we're marred. Doc, we're messed up. Sin has done a job on us. I remind a pastor friend of mine out of Dallas, Texas. You may tell the story about the time that he had this crack in the wall of his house. You may have heard him, Tony Evans there in Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, one of my mentors in the faith. And Dr. Evans tell about the story about he had this crack in the wall of his house, and he had this guy from his church to come over and say, man, I need you to fix this crack in the wall. He said, "Oh, Dr. Evans, I can take care of that. I got some putty back into my truck. I fixed it up so the guy went and got the putty and stirred it up and put it on a crack in the wall and let it dry, and then he painted it and it looked good. Dr. Evans paid him and he went along his way. Only problem was, 30 days later, the crack came back in the wall. Dr. Evans said, "I don't understand it. I paid this guy good money to fix this crack. Now it's back in the wall." So 30 days, he called the guy back and said, "Man, what's up with this crack? I paid you good money to fix this crack. Why is it back?" He said, "Dr. Evans, I apologize. Maybe it was some old compound. I told you, I just came back from Home Depot, got some brand new stuff, man. I'm willing to fix it at no charge, Dr. Evans." "I know that's right, no charge." So the guy came up there, passed it up, fixed it up, painted it, went along his way. Everything was cool. Everything was copacetic. He went back. But guess what? 30 days later, the crack was back in the wall. Dr. Evans said, "I don't understand this. I paid this guy good money to fix." Dr. Evans said, "Yes, sir, I'm not going to fool with this crack anymore." So what he did, Falconton staff, he called over to his house a professional house builder. Got the professional house builder and told the guy the story, Pastor Jones, and he said, "Listen, I need you to fix this crack in the wall. I'm upset. My wife upset. The kids upset. The cats, the dog, everybody's upset. I need you to fix this crack in the wall of my home." And he told the guy the story, and he went and said, "Dr. Evans, I promise you, I can take care of this crack, but if you will give me 10, 15 minutes, I need to take a look on the outside of your house." And Dr. Evans said, "Wait a minute. Here's the problem." He said, "Sir, I understand. But if you just give me 15 minutes to go around on the outside of your house." Dr. Evans said, "But sir, the problem is right here." And the home builder said, "Dr. Evans, let's make a deal. You're a preacher. If I don't tell you how to preach, don't tell me how to fix houses." Dr. Evans said, "That's fine." He said, "That's fine. That's fair." So the guy went outside about 10, 15 minutes, came back inside and said, "Dr. Evans, I got some good news and I got some bad news." Dr. Evans said, "Well, give me the good news first." He said, "The good news is that while I was outside, I got a call from my insurance company. I just saved a whole lot of money on my insurance bill." No, I'm teasing. Don't you love those commercials? Aren't they great? He said, "Now, Dr. Evans, The problem is not with the crack in the wall." He said, what you mean? He said, "I see a crack. You see a crack. All of God's people see a crack on the wall." He said, "Doc, I'm not denying you have a crack. But Doc, as I went on the outside of your house, I noticed that your foundation of your house is sliding. It's shifting. It's cracking. And Dr. Evans, until you fix the foundation of your house, you will always have a crack in the wall." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that's the problem with mankind. That's the problem with us. We're always trying to fix the crack in the wall. But really, the problem is the foundation. It goes beyond the crack in the wall. We try to paint it up. We try to fix it up. We try to buy it up. We try to put makeup on. We try to dress it up with shirt and tie. We try to fix it up with going, doing this and doing that. But ladies and gentlemen, until you deal with the foundation, until you get where God, nobody can see but God, you will always have a crack in your life. In other words, brothers and sisters, we got to deal with sin as God sees sin and stop making excuses. Stop patching it up. Stop making it believe that it's something that is not. Every time you patch it up, it's going to come back over and over and over again until you get to the root of your sin problem. In other words, brothers and sisters, we got to deal with sin as God deals with sin. Because the fact of the matter is, man sees sin differently from what God sees sin. Let me prove to you from A to Z that man and God see sin differently. Man sees sin as an accident. God sees sin as abomination. Man sees sin as a blunder. God sees sin as blindness. Man sees sin as a chance. God sees sin as a charge. Man sees sin as a disease. God sees sin as debt. We can't fix ourselves. Man sees sin as error. God sees sin as enmity. Man sees sin as fascination. God sees sin as fatality. Man sees sin as glamour. God sees sin as gruesome. Man sees sin as habit forming. God sees sin as hell going. We can't fix ourselves. Man sees sin as innocent. God sees sin as immoral. Man sees sin as a joke. God sees sin as judgment. Man sees sin as know-how. God sees sin as a knockout. We can't fix ourselves. Man sees sin as looking. God sees sin as lust. Man sees sin as mischievous. God sees sin as misery. Man sees sin as natural. God sees sin as naughty. We can't fix ourselves. Man sees sin as opportunity. God sees sin as opposition. Man sees sin as performance. God sees sin as pathetic. Man sees sin as a quota. God sees sin as quicksand. We can't fix ourselves. Man sees sees sin as rational. God sees sin as repulsive. Man sees sin as safe. God sees sin as a scandal. Man sees sin as a treat. God sees sin as treason. We can't fix ourselves. Man sees sin as usual. God sees sin as ugly. Man sees sin as vogue. God sees sin as vulgar. Man sees sin as weakness. God sees sin as wretchedness. We can't fix ourselves. Man sees sin as x-rays. God sees sin as x-rated. Man sees sin as yummy. God sees sin as yucky. And finally, man sees sin as zealous. God sees sin as zero. From A to Z, we gotta see sin as God sees sin. Yes. Stop telling yourself, I can stop when I want to. Stop telling yourself, I can quit when I want to. If that's the case, you would have quit a long time ago. If that's the case, you would have quit before your wife found out, before your family found out, before the church found out. If that's the case, you would have found, you would have stopped long ago before you lost your testimony, before your ministry and your reputation and your integrity came on the line. Brothers and sisters, the fact of the matter is we can't fix ourselves. That's why you got to put yourself in the master's hands. Put yourself in the potter's hands and let him mold you and let him shape you and let him make you to be what God knows that you can be. He's the potter. We're the clay. He needs to mold us and shape us to be what God wants. Because ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter, God knows more about you and me than we know about ourselves. So he knows where he needs to fix. He knows where he needs to run. He knows where he needs to hurt. He knows the areas in our lives that we need to touch. And my friend, God knows more about you than you know about yourself, because he created us. The story is told, Dr. Robert, this gentleman who had bought one of the first Model T Fords off the assembly line. Pastor David, Pastor Jones, he was driving this car down the street, and all of a sudden the car stopped on him. He was upset. He didn't know what happened. He gets under the hood. Dr. Phil, he's pretty mechanically inclined. He figured, well, I can fix this thing. I can handle this. So he gets under there. He's under there 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Nothing happens. He's upset. He's mad because he just bought this car. Well, sooner or later, here comes another Model T Ford down the street. Elderly gentleman gets out and says, sir, what's wrong with your car? He said, I don't understand. I just bought this car, man. It's a lemon. Don't want to start. The other guy says, sir, do you mind if I take a look at it? And the guy said, no. So the other guy gets under the hood of the car. He's under there about a good 10 minutes. He said, okay, brother, try to start it up. Got in there, the car started right up. Dr. Charlie, the guy said, whoa, what did you do? How'd you do that? The guy said, hi, my name is Henry Ford. I built this car. The point of the matter is, because Henry Ford built the car, Henry Ford knew what to do to get the car working. Bro, you didn't fix yourself. You didn't, lady, you didn't create you. We were born in the image and the likeness of God. So something is falling apart in your life. Let the master touch you and mold you and fix you so you can be all that God wants, because we can't fix ourselves. Why do we need a touch? We need a touch because we're messed up. Sin does that. Secondly, we need a touch because we can't fix ourselves. But then there's a third and final reason why you and I need a touch. And that's because God's got healing hands. Jones, God's got. Charlotte, God's got. Renee, God's got healing hands. Look at verses 5 and 6, and then we close out. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you. And so are you. And so are you, and so are you in my hands, O house of Midwestern. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, if revival is going to happen in our lives, if renewal is going to happen in our ministry, in our marriages, in our homes, in our family, on this campus, we've got to put ourselves in the master's hand, because God's got healing hands. I've got to come to close, my friend, but no matter how marred you are, God's got healing hands. No matter how messed up your situation may be, God's got healing hands. No matter how bad you think it is, God's got healing hands. No matter how long you've been dealing with your issue or your struggle or your setback, God's got healing hands, whatever you're facing in life, I dare you today. I plead with you today. I beg you today. Don't leave this chapel service without putting it in the Master's hands. Whatever your struggle is, whatever your dilemma is, whatever your stronghold is, put it in the Master's hand. If it's peer pressure, put it in his hands. If it's discouragement, put it in his hands. If it's sorrow, put it in his hands. If it's a divorce, an alcohol situation, if it's drugs, if it's a pornography addiction, put it in the Master's hand. An unfaithful spouse, a financial situation, and trying to make ends meet and pay. If it's a Greek or Hebrew final, put it in the Master's hands. If it's a sin problem, family members on drugs, rebellious children, if it's church mess, and guys, all of us who pastor, all of us know we have church mess. I told you yesterday, all of us deal with devilish deacons and tricky trustees and cranky choir members and ugly acting ushers and messy members and pushy preachers. Put it in the Master's hand. Somebody, Dr. Riles, may say, but Brother Fred, isn't that too much to put in one person's hands? It must be no. Because he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister. He's got the little bitty baby. He's got the whole world in his hands. My friend, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're dealing with. I dare you today to put it in the Master's hands. Put it in his keeping hands. Put it in his saving hands. Put it in his chastising hands. Put it in his loving hands. Put it in his forgiving. Put it in his compassion. Put it in his healing hands. And as the potter does with the clay, as you put yourself in the Master's hands, he'll mold you. And now he might have to hurt you on this side. He may have to discipline you on this side. He may have to go through some stuff on this side. Maybe some pain on this side, but I promise you, if you put yourselves in the Master's hand, your life will never, ever again be the same once you've been placed in the Master's hand. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, as I hurry along to a close, there is no one else whose hands I would recommend today but the Master's hands. Because I've discovered, Dr. Roberts, you got to be real careful whose hands you put things in. For example, if I wanted to win a basketball championship, I'd put myself in Michael Jordan's hands. If I wanted to win a football championship, I'd put myself in Tom Brady's hands. If I wanted to win a hockey championship, I'd put myself in Wayne Gretzky's hands. If I wanted to win a baseball championship, I put myself in Kirk Schilling's hands. If I wanted to change the world through technology, I put myself in Bill Gates' hands. If I wanted to win a golf championship, I used to say I put myself in Tiger Woods' hands. But ever since Tiger fall in love, your God, Tiger just. I don't know what that woman doing to Tiger, but she had messed him up, man. I don't know. Now, ladies, y'all know y'all do that to us. I don't know what y'all do, but ever since Tiger hooked up with that woman, he can't do nothing anymore. But so I will put myself in Phil Nicholson's hands. If I wanted to win a tennis championship, I would put myself in Serena of Venus Williams' hands. If I wanted to run a seminary impacting the lives of our future leaders of our churches, I'd put myself in Dr. Phil Roberts' hands. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to be real careful whose hands you put things in. But if I wanted to be revived, if I wanted to be renewed, if I wanted to be restored, if I wanted to be rejuvenated, if I wanted to be redeemed, I'd put myself in Jesus' hands. I put myself in Jesus' hands. And all you put yourself in Jesus' hands, he'll suffer for you. He'll bleed for you. He'll die for you. He'll cry out from the cross for you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He'll cry that second cry from the cross. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He'll cry that third cry from the cross. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He'll cry that fourth cry from the cross. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He'll cry that fifth cry from the cross. I thirst. He'll cry that sixth cry from the cross. It is finished. And then Midwestern, he'll cry that seventh cry from the cross. Father, daddy, into thy hands I commend my spirit. If Jesus put himself in God's hands, what about you? And what about you? And what about you? Put yourself in his hands. Put your yourself in his hands. Put yourself in his hands. And I promise you, you will never, ever again be the same. Oh, house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you, and so are you, and so are you in my hands, O house of Midwest. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege and the opportunity that you have given us to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Because every day is the Lord's day. Master, we thank you for these 3 days of preaching. And I pray, dear God, that someone has been helped, someone has been revived, been restored, been renewed, been rejuvenated. Someone feels, God, that I can go on from here. I came in here Tuesday with dry bones, but God, I thank you that I've now been revived. I'm now ready to stand up on my feet and become an exceedingly great army for you. God, some professor, some faculty member, some staff member, some student, God, some pastor's wife, God, some music leader, God. God, all of us, Master, stand in need of revival. And I just pray, God, that as a result of the preaching, result of the singing, result of the Spirit of God that's in this place, that none of us will leave this place without putting ourselves in your hands. And we'll be careful to give your name all the praise, the glory, and the honor for all that you've done, what you're doing right now, what you promise you will continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's put ourselves in the